indicated to me at the time is the world is going to turn against Israel. We're just seeing the initial foment of it. And boy, is that not the case. And that's why I'm really grateful for Olivier. I'm really grateful that we started this prophecy conference. So if you like the prophecy conference, you can give us all the credit. And if you don't like it, you can blame him. And Olivier is really in a precarious place as a speaker, because the only thing standing between lunch and you is Olivier. So with that being said, come and bless us.
Oh, you gotta hit the button. Oh my gosh, there's the timer.
It is.
But it's mostly for you.
It's not working.
It's not working?
No. It makes a nice little
sound. Anything that goes beep like this, I don't like it.
There we go.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Start 3, 2, 1.
There you go.
There you go.
So let me start with announcement. Lunch has been canceled. Talking about food, before I get started, here is a piece of useless Jewish trivia. How do you make bacon kosher? Circumcise the pig. Okay, we got the joke out of the way. We can get started. It's so good to be back. I am so blessed and so happy that Andy caught the vision 5 years ago. Amen. And here we are. Look at this great room of Bible believing followers of the Jewish Messiah. And we are waiting for him to return. It could be in the middle of this session. And I'm going to talk this today and tomorrow. We'll be, talking about catching up on what's going on with anti-Semitism. And not only that, I'm going to give you some tips on how to make a difference. And it's actually not that complicated. There's a few things that our ministry has started. I'll talk about that tomorrow. You don't want to miss the session tomorrow. For somehow, Andy put me before lunch today and after lunch tomorrow. So don't miss tomorrow. Are we on the screen? Do you see the logo? So going back to what I was saying, friends, thank you so much for being here. This means a lot to us, and Andy, and I know it's just great to be here, because conferences like this, there's not that many left that teach the Bible, that take the word seriously, and that understand the times that we're in. So I appreciate all the speakers that are lined up for this conference. We're going to have a great time. And so I'm going to share with you, I'm going to catch you up on what's going on. And I want to start today. I'll tell you a few words about the ministry, and then we'll get into the message. So our ministry is Shalom and Messiah Ministries. And our mission statement is to expose and fight anti-Semitism, equip and mobilize Christians, and lead Jewish people to the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. And by the way, friends, I want you to start thinking that way, because it's going to be a main theme that's going to be going through my head right now, and I want to share with you. I don't think anti-Semitism is going back in the box. After October 7th of 2023, it's out. It's not going back. But we have to keep fighting. And I keep thinking, we expose, we oppose, but when he returns, he's going to depose. Amen? So that's what I want you to think. We're not stopping, but it's not going to stop, but we have to keep fighting. And there's many things we can do to make a difference. And that will become clear as we go through today and tomorrow. I brought some books in the book room over there. They're all there. And I have a brand new book that just came out October 7th of 2025 on anti-Semitism in the end times with Harvest Prophecy. And I have a whole bunch of them there. I'll be happy to sign a copy if you're interested. You're going to want to get a copy of that book, because it's going to catch you up to just a few months ago. I mean, literally, what's happening in the world and You need to know. You need to know, because how can you fight the fight if you don't know the enemy? The notes for today, here's your first QR code. There's going to be two QR codes. This is, if you want to follow the notes with me right now on your tablet, phone, whatever you have to scan, you can do it right now. And if you don't catch it now, you can always catch up with me later. But you'll have a way to get all the notes at the end. But if you want to follow right now, you can scan, and that should get you the notes on your phone or whatever. So what I want to talk about in this first message is, and it kind of surprises people when I say this, we have surpassed a repeat of the 30s and the 40s. I started studying and exposing and gathering information about the rebirth of anti-Semitism, this new anti-Semitism wave, in 2000 when I was in Chicago. I was at Moody Bible Institute. So it's like 26 years ago. And back then, I was telling people it's going to get really bad. It's going to get to the point where it's going to be almost as bad, if not the same, as the 1930s and 40s. And people would look at me, would go like, well, maybe Olivia, you're pushing it. Maybe you're exaggerating. I don't think I was back then, and we know today I was not. And I was not speaking prophetically. I was speaking biblically, because in the Bible we know the whole world is going to go against Israel. Amen? So we knew that. I just believed the word, and it's going to get bad. What I did not believe, and we've seen even a progression in the last 5 years that we've done this conference, what I did not believe is that it would get as bad as it is right now in our lifetime before the rapture. That I did not believe. I didn't think I would see it. And friends, I don't think we've seen the worst. And yet there's something we can do. There's several things we can do. And that's what I want to do. I want to expose the problem, but I also want to equip you to make a difference. So I pulled out this quote from a book that I read when I was at Moody in one of my classes. And it's a book called The Destruction of European Jews. And this quote is going to be the foundation for all my next message tomorrow. Will be a development of this quote and going back into history and looking how it's happening again today in a different way, but in a worse way. So here's a quote from Raoul Hilberg from The Destruction of European Jews, 1961. The missionaries of Christianity had said, in effect, you have no right to live among us as Jews. Conversion. The secular rulers who followed had proclaimed, you have no right to live among us. Expulsion. The German Nazis at last decreed, you have no right to live. Destruction. You see a progression? You should. There is a progression. And that progression is something that was very real. And we'll see tomorrow that the same thing is happening from a different perspective, but very much the same thing. So again, you have no right to live among us as Jews. You have no right to live among us. You have no right to live. There's nothing left. Now, when you connect back then and today, Hitler's motto in the 30s and 40s, the final solution to the Jewish question, that basically was a euphemism for, let's get all the Jews. Let's kill all the Jews. By the way, some of you already know that Hitler was working with the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. That he had he not been stopped, he would have gone into Israel, into the Holy Land, and gotten as many Jews as he could. The motto for today, Hamas, and the world's motto for 2026 is, from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. I have and I don't know, and by the way, so this is both are euphemism for kill all Jews. The river to the sea. If you ask people who use that motto, they usually don't know why they say it. They don't know what it means, except it sounds cool. It's social justice, and it's hip, and it's trendy, but they don't know what river, they don't know what sea to save their lives. But that, for those who know, it basically what this is a repackaging of the same idea. Get rid of the Jews. Friends, there's nothing new under the sun. We should know that. Ecclesiastes 1:9, that which has been, that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. They're just, trying to get the Jews, because, you know, ultimately anti-Semitism comes from Satan. You'll hear me say this several times today and tomorrow. Israel's biblical enemies, their motto, can be found in Psalm 83, 4. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. You could pull this out of the news today. It looks very, very contemporary. But I like to quote the very first Zionist. Oh, that's a bad word. Not in this room, I know. But the word Zionism or Zionist, bad words. I mean, it's racist, you know, colonialist, you know, with all those things. You don't want to be a Zionist. Of course you want to be a Zionist. You know who the first Zionist was? God. Genesis 12:3, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. I like what Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum, dear friend of mine, an early mentor of mine, said, this is God's foreign policy as it pertains to Israel. Bless the Jews, you'll be blessed. Curse the Jews, you'll be cursed. We see this in biblical history. We see this in post-biblical history. It's amazing. It is true. So, this being said, what are the five reasons why we have surpassed, I believe we have surpassed, we have gone beyond the 1930s and 1940s? I'm going to give them to you up front and then we'll unpack it one by one. I believe that we are going to a gunfight with a knife. I'll explain. The rebirth of Israel is another important reason. Support of Israel by anyone, that includes all of you. A digital Joseph Goebbels. And Jews against Israel. Those are the five things I want to touch on. So number one, going to a gunfight with a knife. In the 30s and the 40s, racial anti-Semitism, which was, you know, the anti-Semitism of the Holocaust, it had been, anti-Semitism has always been kind of morphing and changing its shape and its colors and its, the way it looked, over the time, over the centuries. At the time of the Holocaust, it became racial anti-Semitism. Followed the laws, now debunked, of the false science of eugenics. And basically, the Nazis and the sympathizers said, hey, the Jews are a race that needs to be eliminated. They're vermin, they need to be eliminated. They're not a good race. So racial anti-Semitism was contained to Greater Europe, and most anti-Semites were Nazis and Nazi sympathizers. By the way, it's bad enough, okay? In 2026, the cancer of Jew hatred has metastasized and is in stage 4, aggressively hurting all Jews globally. When you look at the number of Nazi sympathizers and Nazis in during the war, that was about, I think, 10% of all Germany and some other countries like France and the Vichy government. When you look at the people supporting Hamas today, 75 to 80% of Palestinians are supporting Hamas in killing Jews. It's a whole new number. Why are we going to a gunfight with a knife? Now, I very much respect Secretary of State Marco Rubio. I think he will be remembered as one of the best. And this is what he said in response to the Bondi Beach massacre in December 2025. The United States strongly condemns a heinous terrorist attack in Australia targeting a Hanukkah celebration hosted by Chabad Lubavitch of Bondi. We stand in solidarity with the Jewish community and with the Australian people as we pray for the victims and their families. No community should have to fear publicly celebrating their faith and traditions due to the threat of extremist violence and terror. Great words. I don't disagree with anything you said there. But friends, anti-Semitism has moved to actions. And here we're trying to fight it with words. It's not going to work. It's not enough anymore. You're going to hear me say this several times as well in the next few days. We, as believers, need skin in the game. It's time to get busy. It's serious. I like the words of Melanie Phillips, Jewish-British political commentator. The time for platitudes is over. What's needed is zero tolerance of Islamic extremism and anti-Zionism. Now the attacks have gone into overdrive. It's very serious. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks before the attack on Bondi Beach, this happened at a Jewish daycare center in Australia. And nobody seemed to care. There's no sound, but I want you to see the image. And I erased it because, you know, I want to make sure it's PG. You read it. This was a daycare that was set on fire. Soon after that, a little before that, sorry, in August, I believe, Netanyahu sent a letter to the Australian Prime Minister, and he did nothing with it. And Bibi said, you call for it. That's the time where Australia said, we're gonna recognize Palestine at the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations in September. You call for a Palestinian state. Your call for a Palestinian state pours fuel on this anti-Semitic fire. It is not diplomacy, it's appeasement. It rewards Hamas terror, hardens Hamas's refusal to free the hostages, emboldens those who menace Australian Jews, and encourages the Jew hatred now stalking your streets. Prime Minister, anti-Semitism is a cancer. It spreads when leaders stay silent. It retreats when leaders act. I call upon you to replace weakness with action, appeasement with resolve, and do so by a clear date. The Jewish New Year, September 23, 2025. History will not forgive hesitation. It will honor action. The Prime Minister did absolutely nothing. Now, and then Bondi Beach happened. Number two, the rebirth of the State of Israel. This of course, goes back to 1948, but that's important. That's part of why I think now anti-Semitism is bigger and global and going after not just the Jews, but also the Jewish state. Back then, it didn't have that option during the Holocaust. 1930s and 40s, anti-Semitism focused exclusively on the Jewish people. In 2026, anti-Semitism hides itself behind the mask of anti-Zionism in the name of social justice. Boycott, divestment, and sanctions, BDS, plagues Israel, global Jews, and supporters of Israel. Today, anything invented, promoted, manufactured, or curated in Israel has become a target. Supporters of Israel have become a target. This is my worst recruitment speech ever. Anti-Semitism is against the Jews, but today it's also against those who support the Jews. Would you help me? But it's true though. This is what we are. We need skin in the game. Now, I'm in this anti-Semitism study and teaching 24/7, and it can get pretty dark, and it can get pretty, you know, draining. So once in a while, even during a message, I have to kind of soften the blow a little bit. So here is a little something for you.
Day one of boycotting Israel. Today, I am cutting out cherry tomatoes, as they were developed and widely commercialized by Israel. Day two of boycotting Israel. I will no longer use shampoos and products manufactured by companies that profit from Israel's occupation. It's day three. Turns out there's Israeli tech in my gaming console, so... Whew, it's time for a hike. Guys, I deleted my GPS. It was made by the Israelis. I think I just missed my exit. I have no idea where I am. I'm gonna go look for help. It's now day four, and I'm lost. Good news is that I don't really have access to anything else like a boycott.
Wait.
I can't take these meds. They're made in Israel.
So, go to boycott, go to bdsmovement.org. I should have this in the, you can see me later, bdsmovement.org. Pull their tab where it says, those are all the products that you want to boycott. You got your list of what you want to support. So, regarding May 14, 1948, Israel being reborn, Israel is accused, of course, of occupation and ethnic cleansing on Palestinian land. We hear it all the time, right? And yet, and I found this recently, and I this is a breath of fresh air to me, in a little booklet, and I have a facsimile of the booklet, but there's an original at the Wiesenthal Center in L.A., also at the theological library, the Claremont, back in the, near San Diego, a theological library, I think it's what it's called. And it's called A Brief Guide to Al-Haram al-Sharif, Jerusalem, 1924. Al-Haram al-Sharif is the name for, the Arabic name for Temple Mount. The Muslim site, right? And according to what we hear today, this is not a Jewish site at all. I mean, we stole everything, we stole the land, this is a Muslim site. This little booklet was published in 1924 by the Supreme Muslim Council. In it, I got two excerpts for you. This one says, in the west wall of the chamber, a door opens in the staircase descending up to Solomon's stables. This is a vast subterranean chamber of roughly rectangular shape. Of these are 15 rows of varying size. Little is known for certain of the early history of the chamber itself. It dates probably as far back as the construction of Solomon's temple, the Jewish temple. This is coming from the Supreme Muslim Council, 1924. According to Josephus, they even recognized Josephus. It was in existence and was used as a place of refuge by the Jews at the time of the conquest of Jerusalem by Titus in year 70 AD. It gets better. The site is one of the oldest of the world. Its sanctity dates from the earliest, perhaps the prehistoric times. Its identity, Muslim Council, its identity with the site of Solomon's temple is beyond dispute. Wow, how things have changed. This too is the spot, according to the universal belief, on which David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offering. And they're quoting 2 Samuel 24:25, I believe. This is in an Islamic booklet that was published and distributed to everybody who visited the Temple Mount. This is a piece of history right there. So, The existence of Israel is a problem, and it's not just the Jews, it's the Jews and the land of Israel. But there's no foundation for it, as you see in this paper and other things I've shown you over the years, and that I can provide you if you reach out to me if you need more information. There's no historical ground for this. No, it's not factual. The truth is, this is a Jewish site. Israel is Jewish, biblical, historical Jewish land. There's no question about it. Number three, any support of Israel. That's where you're involved. Like as I told you, you know. In the 30s and 40s, those of goodwill who later became recognized as righteous among the nations by the Yad Vashem Holocaust Memorial only risked their lives if they were caught by Nazis rescuing or sheltering Jews. Now, this is a picture of me pointing to two names on the wall in the back of the property at Yad Vashem, where the couple, Pierre and Ida Daricot, were recognized. I think it's 2011. Their name was inscribed there. They rescued my mother after her father was taken by the Gestapo in our house in Paris and hid her on their farm for 2 years. And they became righteous among the nations, recognized by Yad Vashem. And back then, it was a very risky proposition. That's the only way you could really get in trouble with the Nazis is by doing such a thing. In 2026, wearing a t-shirt with a pro-Israel slogan, attending a pro-Israel rally or a conference like this, not to scare you or anything, or expressing support for the Jewish people in any fashion will put you at risk. You no longer need to be Jewish to suffer from anti-Semitism. I know it sounds crazy, but that's where we are. You no longer need to be Jewish to suffer from anti-Semitism. Wear a t-shirt that says, I love Israel, I support Israel, I'm a Christian Zionist, I'm a Zionist, whatever. Wear a t-shirt like this in public. Maybe not so much in most of Texas. Just don't go to Austin. But, this is getting serious. You just need to show any level of support for Israel or the Jewish people and you could get in trouble. And yet, I just take you back to Genesis 12:3. There's a command. God says, you know, bless the Jews. And for me, I've said this for as long as I've been a believer, going on for almost 43 years now. The best blessing ever is the gift that never stops giving, the gift of the gospel. We Jews need it too. We're not saved by virtue of being Jewish. Nicodemus was wrong. Okay, in John 3. We need the gospel. It's kind of Jewish gospel to start with, actually, when you think about it, you know. We got you in, but, you know, it was for us first, you know. So, anyway, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. We need the gospel. My people need the gospel. Number four, digital Joseph Goebbels. 1930s and 40s, Joseph Goebbels was the minister of propaganda for Nazi Germany, 33 to 45. As effective as he was, he had a team of people helping him, but, you know, information took time to travel, and yet he had so many people, giving Jews a chance to escape when they saw the handwriting on the wall. Many did not. Some had a chance to escape. But he could only go so far and could only do so much. With the internet, social network, the crazies come out. Now, I used to respect this person very much about 15 years ago, and I thought there was great hope for America with people like her. And the enemy, Satan, can use anybody. I am not saying she's demon-possessed. I'm almost there, but I'm not there quite yet. But Satan can use anybody, including believers, and he can oppress them and use them against other believers and against other people. And I think she's being used by the devil right now. I think I saw a report, a video today, I think this morning, that in the last year she's mentioned the word Jew or Jewish in a different podcast a total of almost 1,250 times among all the other topics that she covers. In the age of the internet and social media, every Jew hater is a digital Joseph Goebbels with his and her own posse of potential Jew killers. They have an incredible reach. Exposure is instantaneous. Global. The reach is great. She is bad news. She is not, again, she's not using facts. She's showing a book here on one of the podcasts called The Talmudic Jew. The Talmudic Jew, by August Rowling, published in 1871, promotes the libel against about Jews using blood from Christian children to make matzah. Friends, in the Bible, one of the first things we're told is Jews is get rid of the blood. If you're going to eat kosher food, take the blood out. Do not consume any blood. It's actually repeated even in the New Testament. Don't consume the blood. So for somebody that thick, that stupid to say, they take Christian children. The first event that took place that way was in 1144 in England, I think, or 41. It was a little child that was abducted and murdered. And the testimony of one monk made a case for, they took this little boy during Holy Week and they drained his blood and they made matzah for Passover with Christian blood. If they read their Bible, they would say, like, this is impossible. Jewish people don't touch blood if they want to keep kosher. Yes, this guy said that we do that. He was also an inspiration for another man called Julius Streicher, publisher of the Nazi magazine. I got a copy of some of his work at my office, Der Stürmer, which is a very anti-Semitic magazine during the 30s and the 40s. And by the way, Candace Owens said that, you know, she calls us Talmudic Jews, and she paints the Jewish people as a monolithic group of people. I mean, seriously, you put two Jews in a room, you get three opinions. There's nothing monolithic about that. Okay, we exist on a very, very wide spectrum, from very agnostic, that's where I was before I met my Yeshua, my Messiah, to ultra-Orthodox and everything in between. We're not monolithic. 12, maybe 15% of Jewish people in the world, of the 15 million troublemakers out of 8 billion people, 12% of the 15 million open the Talmud on a regular basis. The rest of us, we don't have a clue what's in it. So we're not Talmudic Jews. Again, it sounds good. It gets you clicks. It gets you money. Whatever. Don't listen to her. And don't listen to the other guy as well. I'll probably talk about him tomorrow, but I coined a word the other day. It's in an article I just posted on our blog at shalomandmessiah.com. We need to detuckerize the MAGA movement. It needs to be detuckerized. If there was a vaccine, I would think that that's a good one. We need to be detuckerized, okay? We'll talk about that tomorrow a little more. This saddens me. This one saddens me, actually. There is a group of people, Jewish people, self-loathing Jewish people, that actually do a disservice to the Jewish community, the global Jewish community. And the names that I'm used to are like people like Norm Finkelstein or Ilan Pape or other Jewish people that actually wrote that the Holocaust never happened. Those, all that nonsense that you really can't take really seriously if you're a student of history. And then comes Steven Spielberg. I mean, an incredibly talented, gifted director. Okay, 1993, released the movie Schindler's List, which to this day is in my top three list of all movies. And you, some of you are thinking, what are the other two? Right? Okay. Hey, I'm not perfect. Okay. So I'll give you the other two, and you're going to instantly judge me. Because they're very different. Okay, how many of you know the movie Casablanca? Okay, that's on my top list. So Casablanca, Schindler's List, and please don't judge me. Okay, The Godfather Part 1. Those are my three favorite movies of all time. But Schindler's List is probably on top. And for different reasons. So when that came out, I remember seeing Schindler's List. I live in Seattle at the time. I went out with a friend of mine. My wife could not. And to this day, she knows what I do. She supports 100%. And some of you know her. But she cannot watch anything that has to do with the Holocaust. She cannot read anything. She can, because she's married to a guy who lost family in the Holocaust. And it's too close. So she can't do it. But I went with a friend and I came out of that movie theater when it came out in 1993. I lived in Western Washington at the time. And there's a few people who used to live there that I met this morning. So just for your benefit, it was at Victoria Mall. Those of you know who I'm talking about who live there. We came out and I couldn't talk for several hours. I couldn't talk. That's how affected I was by that movie. Great movie. And then Spielberg said that. He said, deeply moved by the experience of directing Schindler's List. I mean, this is, I don't know if he said that, but this is a quote about what he did. Steven Spielberg donated his portion of the film's profits to build and support a meaningful and relevant Jewish community. And I respect that. It was incredible. It's blood money. And I heard him say that. This, you know, Schindler's List, blood money. I can't touch a penny. Not that he needed it. I can't touch a penny of it. So it's all going to go to create this foundation, the Righteous Persons Foundation. Has made more than $100 million in grants since it got started. Has funded innovative approaches that inspire activism for social justice. Help bring people together across lines of difference. Unlock the power of art and storytelling. Make Jewish history and tradition more accessible. And ensure that the moral lessons of the Holocaust are not forgotten. And for this, I say, bravo, Mr. Spielberg. Wonderful. And I put in my notes. That's where you need to get my notes, because I put the source of what I'm telling you so that you don't think I'm kind of crazy. It's there. And recently, in the last 5 years, since 2021, the Righteous Persian Foundation, Spielberg's foundation from Schindler's List, has provided $650,000 to a group called the Rabbinic Call for Human Rights, Teruah. Teruah CEO Jill Jacobs accuses Israelis of incitement to genocide, accuses Israel of ethnic cleansing, accuses Israel of war crimes against Hezbollah, and demands that Israel stops attacking Hamas. Spielberg has allowed for $650 million to go to that foundation. Liberal Jews in America do not care about Israel anymore. Their new Judaism, their new religion, is liberalism. And even in a man like Spielberg, it shows, and it's very sad to me. It's very, very sad. But that's the truth. And I've got the article there. It's from Front Page Magazine. You can get the source. So here again, going to a gunfight with a knife, May 14, 1948, support Israel by anyone, digital Goebbels and Jews against Israel. Now what? Okay, in the next 18 minutes, I changed my mind. We are going to have lunch. Okay, so listen quickly. I want to look at five different points. Can believers make a difference? Can anti-Semitism be eradicated? Is prayer the answer? Are words helpful? Are actions necessary? Here's my definition. You've heard it over and over and over. It doesn't change. It's still very much the same because I can't think of anything to change. Anti-Semitism is the satanic and irrational hatred of Israel and the Jewish people, characterized by thoughts, words, and or actions against them. Irrational and satanic. Anti-Semitism is a creation of Satan. He wants to get rid of the Jews, because when the Jew says, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, at the end of the seven-year tribulation, Jesus comes back and Satan goes into retirement, not in Boca Raton, but in the pit of hell. And he wants to stop that. So he's very creative. And guess what, friends? I think he knows right now he's running on fumes. I wonder if maybe Satan can smell the rapture. I don't know, but he knows he's running on fumes. No, he can't, because he's not omniscient. So he doesn't know, even Satan doesn't know when it's coming. Amen? Can believers make a difference? In the 30s and 40s, many people chose to become bystanders while the horrors of the Holocaust were unraveling. I don't have the time for it. I kind of shared in prior conferences that this is what happened where my parents lived. The man upstairs, not the man upstairs, the man upstairs, right above my parents' apartment, gave away my grandfather because he was secretly in love with my grandmother, and he worked for the police, and he thought if I get rid of the Jewish husband, then I can get the woman. So he gave him away to the Gestapo. Many people just did that, looked through the blinders, didn't want to get involved, and he was taken and he died in Auschwitz within a week. He was murdered in the camp. A bystander who does nothing only facilitates the work of a perpetrator. You, we, all of us cannot be bystanders of the 21st century. That ship sailed. We need skin in the game. I need you. I'm just one person. I need your help. Albert Einstein, who escaped in time, if I were to remain silent, I'd be guilty of complicity. Elie Wiesel, who was with his dad in Auschwitz, said that silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. It's the same as the bystander. So we need skin in the game. This is all the anti-Semitism over time here on one slide. In human history, historical anti-Semitism and new anti-Semitism. Under historical anti-Semitism, we have theological anti-Judaism. By the way, that slide represents 25 hours of a seminar that I teach in one slide. So you guys get the one slide. You should be grateful. Otherwise, there's no lunch. Classic anti-Semitism Middle Ages and Reformation, racial anti-Semitism, the Holocaust, then about a 20-year break. Respite, we thought it was over. And then the new anti-Semitism, end times anti-Semitism. We are here. End times anti-Semitism. And then there's one more after we're gone. Tribulation anti-Semitism, when two-thirds of the Jewish people will perish, according to Zechariah 13, 9, and 10. That's a reality. But I've said it before. You heard him say it before. I need to repeat it. In that passage, God gives us a percentage, two-thirds, one-third. One-third will be refined as silver and gold. Two-thirds will perish during the tribulation. The one-third will be helped by, as we'll see probably tomorrow, by the Gentiles who have been left behind and become, the parable of the sheep and the goats. We'll talk more about that later. But the one-third is going to survive. It's a percentage. The more Jewish people hear about the gospel today, now, from us, the less... the smaller the percentage will be. It will be the same percentage, but the number within that percentage will be smaller because they get saved, they get raptured with us. Amen? That's the goal. That's the goal. Okay, I'm going to skip that. It's a great quote, but you have to get the notes. Can anti-Semitism be eradicated? Not anymore. Again, we expose, we oppose. When he returns, he'll depose. We still expose and we still oppose. Pandora's box of Jew hatred was opened on October 7, 2023. We are fighting the final spiritual battle. That's where we are. It's always been a spiritual battle, but now it is the final fight. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. I'm going to skip the 1 Samuel. It's all in your notes. But for the sake of time, we need to skip this. Can anti-Semitism be eradicated? I've already told you. I don't think it can. Now, friends, you have to understand something. Until about 2 years ago, two, three years ago, you would ask me that question. I might have even said at a conference with Andy, we can still stop it. We can still do something. I think it's too late. I think it's not going back in the box. Look at the reaction after October 7th. I talked to a tour guide when I came back from Israel last October, and a Jewish man, wonderful man, pray for him. His name is Yossi, and he's a good man. He said, Olivier, I understand, I acknowledge, I accept what happened on October 7th as a Jew, because this is part of who we are, you know. We've been persecuted, we've been killed, we've been attacked from right, from left. So I understand October 7th. What I don't understand is October 8th. That was profound. October 8th is Pandora's box, and it's not being closed. That's why we continue to expose, we continue to oppose until he deposes. We fight back with determination, with commitment, and we trust the Lord, because we are on his side. Is prayer the answer? Prayer is critical. Prayer is foundational. And it also demonstrates our reliance on God. But prayer is not, you know, it used to be, I'll pray for the peace of Jerusalem. What's going to happen if your Jewish friend comes out in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., knocks on your door with his wife and kids and say, hey, you keep telling me that your church and you love the Jewish people and you got my back. Well, I can't go home. It's not safe anymore. People are trying to get to us. My car has been taken away from me. My bank account is down to zero. I mean, you see what's going on, you know, with the previous speaker talking about the New World Order. Well, they're going to go after the Jews. What are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, my friend, you know, I love Israel. I just, you know, I go there every year. I'll pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Or you're going to say, come in. Let me help you. Are you hungry? Are you cold? Are you tired? That reminds me of a story in the Bible. You know, those who will do that during your tribulation, the king, when he returns, calls him righteous. It's not salvation by works, but it's helping the Jews during the tribulation because they got saved and they understand their place in God's plan. So it's not salvation by works. It's important. But that's where we are. So prayer is important, but prayer is just a foundation. I'll give you the scriptures here. I don't have time to read them because you're not listening fast enough, so I got to keep moving. Are words helpful? It depends what kind of words. James 3, 8 through 10. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men and who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. So, friends, we remember, we speak up. We expose. We speak up. Expose the lies. We compare biblical truth with what's being taught. Because that's the only thing we have. At the end of the day, the only thing we have to compare to what's being spewed everywhere is the Word of God. So you compare, you say, hey, this person, this is what I tried to do on our website, on our blog, and in our videos, and on the YouTube channel. By the way, I know exactly who hasn't subscribed yet to the YouTube, so I've got names. And I'm sending them today to the IRS. So that was a joke. We compare to biblical truth. That's what I do. You know, when somebody like Kendall Sohns or Tucker Carlson or all of those people that are spewing their poison on Israel and the supporters of Israel and the Jewish people, say, well, what does the Bible say? Because we do not want I do not want, and I think as believers, none of us should want unnecessary character assassination. Now, that's too easy. That's cheap. I'm not interested in that. But to expose what they say and see if it holds water against the scripture, yes, that on any, at any day. And that's what we all need to do. Are actions necessary? Stand up, participate, contribute, encourage. Absolutely. I look at the world history, and I didn't know if it was in this message or next message, but I guess it's in this message. I look at a little bit of bookends of world history. Genesis 12:3, which is, of course, as you've seen it, you know, the blessing and cursing of the Jewish people that God gave to Abraham. And that's one bookend. And then I look at the end of times, Matthew 25:31-46. The blessing the Jewish people is the same as blessing Messiah himself. Is brethren according to the flesh. This is not about the church. This is not about Christians. It's about Gentiles who got saved during the tribulation, blessing Jews and protecting them. Guess what, friends? We know it's not going to be us because up we go, we're gone. But the principle, what's stopping you from doing this today? The principle is good for today. So I don't care if you're a pre-mill, pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-ref, 7-8, 5-16, post-trib, even a millennial, I don't care. Is there one eschatological position that prescribes not blessing Israel in the Bible? No. If you read your Bible seriously, absolutely not. Give the gospel to Israel, for it is a gift that never stops giving, and then ask the Lord, dear God, show me how to be a 21st century Oscar Schindler or Corrie ten Boom. What can I do for my Jewish friends? Many of you have heard me over the past years when I was talking about a network to help Jewish people. It has become clear to us on that network that many of the moving parts of that network were putting a lot of people in unnecessary, expose them to unnecessary potential danger. So we are changing the way we do things now. And so you will not hear of that from me anymore. But the need is still there. The way we do it now is it's growing organically. What we want to do is we want to equip you so that when you meet your Jewish neighbor, your Jewish friend, your Jewish coworker, you know what to say, you know what to do, you've got the right tools. And to that effect, I'm going to skip those two slides. And to that effect, that's what we're going to do basically is the challenge is to go from pro-Israel to proactive for Israel. All of you, unless we have some spies there, let me see. You know, there's always, you know, who knows. But all of you, I'm expecting, are friends of Israel. Can I hear an amen? That was almost not too loud. Can I hear an amen?
Amen!
I'm blessed. Okay, so we are all pro-Israel. It's time to be proactive for Israel. You're gonna learn more about that tomorrow. I'm going to tell you tomorrow about a project that we started. I'm just going to give you the name of it because it's really, really awesome. And I've got some example. It's called No Synagogue Left Behind. And tomorrow I'm also going to talk to you about another project. The Towards Messiah project. Those two projects are two things that Shalom and Messiah is working on right now. It's really exciting, but we're going to need you for that. So what I want to do right now is, you heard me. I told you, I need you. I need you to be involved. We need skin in the game. But I also want to equip you because people come to me all the time and go, Olivier, I don't know what to say to my Jewish friend. I mean, I don't know how to share the gospel with them. I don't know what to say if they say I do this, I do that. I have no clue. So here is the best part. Scan this and make a difference for Israel. This QR code is going to take you to a page where you give us your name, email, and address. And tomorrow, there'll be somebody from a Jewish Tupperware organization trying to sell you a bunch of containers. Buy the containers inside the... No, I'm just kidding. We're not sharing this with anybody. But this QR code will get you on our list. And within the next few weeks, our staff will send you a packet with two books for free. And some tracts, some gospel tracts for Jewish people from the Old Testament. And some instructions to equip you so that when you go like, hey, my neighbor's Jewish. Knock, knock. I'm a Christian. I love you people. I love you. If I can ever do anything to help you, I'm your friend. I got your back. Across the street, next door, college buddy, co-worker, schoolmate, doctor. Here's a cliche, my Jewish doctor. You know somebody. And if you don't know somebody Jewish, you know somebody who does. Don't let that go to waste. Scan the QR code, get on the list, you'll get the packet. We're not going to ask you anything beyond that. I'll tell you right now, we send it all for free. Does it cost money? No, we steal everything. Of course it costs money. Of course it costs money. We need to buy the books, we need to buy the envelopes, we need to ship everything. It costs money. You want to donate? Please do. Please do. You'll hear me say that again tomorrow. We need your help. We need your prayers, we need donations, and we need skin in the game. Scan this, we'll send it to you. We're not going to follow up with anything. We'll send it to you, and we'll let you ask the Lord. Okay, I'm reading the book. One of the book is a book that tells you all about the Jewish culture and how to reach Jewish people with the gospel. Get that. Only get one. You don't only need one. But if you need more supplies, you can always email me and say, hey, Olivia, can I get more tracks? Can I get another book? Because I want, you know, there's a book that... So you can always stay in touch with us. And then ask the Lord, how can I be an Oscar Schindler? How can I be a Corrie Ten Boom? And let the Lord work in your own life, in your sphere of influence, organically. Your heart is in the right place. If you ask Him, He will show you. 35 seconds left. You should be proud of me. I thought for sure I'd go over. Let's pray. And if I may, I'd like to pray for the lunch as well. Yes? Oh, yeah. Andy doesn't want to come back for that. Lord, thank you for all my dear friends here. My goodness, Lord, we for such a time as this. Every year we come back here and you haven't called us home yet, so we must stay busy. This year, Lord, it's clear you want us to have skin in the game. You want us to make a difference. Lord, help us get equipped. Help us be bold. Help us reach out to our Jewish friends and neighbors. Lord, they need to know that there is a remnant of Christian community that loves them and wants to make a difference for such a time as this. Lord, we thank you for dying for us. We thank you for what you did for us. And I pray that many Jewish people would see the need for their Messiah through their Christian friends who tell them that they care. Thank you, Lord, for being in our lives. We ask that you would also bless the rest of this day today, the next speakers for the rest of the day, and you would bless the food that we're about to take. We ask all this in Yeshua's name. Amen.